Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Real takes over fake debates.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb, Real Takes Over Fake Debates. It is Monday. I almost got my days messed up. I forgot we coming off fresh Super Bowl Sunday, Sean. How you feeling today, brother?
Doing good, SB. Happy Monday to you. Happy Monday to everyone out there.
Happy Monday. Happy past Super Bowl Monday. Yes, sir. Salute, Tiffany. Adam Jar came in. Fly Eagles, fly champions again. Yes, y'all are. Yes, y'all are. We got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the Super Bowl. The Eagles came through. We got a victory. We definitely got a lot of things on the inside of the Super Bowl to talk about. One even particular with us, Sean. You know, I have been getting a lot of heat since I called Jalen Hurts an average quarterback. And well, you know,
and you deserve it. And
the Eagles fans highlighted me been here. I have a definitely the response to all that. We got to definitely talk about Patrick Mahomes because did he possibly have his 2011 LeBron James moment with how bad he played? We got to recap our NFL awards again. We missed it out on last show. We're going to just go over those real quick. We got a lot of NFL moves going on in the NFL. Want to keep up with the NBA. Then speaking of the NBA, we got to talk about how Anthony Davis got injured. Day one. The Dallas Mavericks fans got the full Anthony Davis experience, plus some all-star replacements. But we got to start with the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl went down, and we all watched that massacre. Sean, this was happened when I watched the Super Bowl, right? See this? Belt. Eagle said, Patrick Mahomes, BTA. That's all. Sean, the game was over. The game was over about a halftime. Kendrick Lamar pretty much just there to perform like the Gabasho to everybody, like, oh, yeah, the game over, y'all. But when I say it was BTA, it was BTA, Sean. Oh, my goodness. The score was, what, pretty much 30-0 in the first half?
It was 24-0 halftime.
Could have been 30 if they – I think the Eagles should have I was watching the game with my girl dad. He was like, I ain't going to even lie. It's like 50-some seconds left. But the Eagles did the right thing. He said, I end them early. Let's get this last touchdown and we can say, kiss the babies. We can go home. We can just be waving a locker room. Get the champagne ready. Let's go and get the champagne ready. But the full stats of the game is 40-22. Patrick Mahomes went to the game 21-32, 257 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2 bad interceptions, by the way. Jalen Hurts went 17-22, 221. 2 touchdowns, 1 interception for Mr. So-called average. Patrick Mahomes actually led the team in rushing with 4 carries and 25 yards. Jalen Hurts led the Eagles with 11 carries, 72 yards, 1 touchdown. Shockingly, that's not Saquon Barkley how bad they beat him. Xavier Worthy led the team in receptions, 8, received 8 reps for 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. Devontae Smith led the Eagles in 4 recs, 69 yards, 1 TD. And the main thing that me and you always look at, Sean, the time of possession. The Eagles won the time of possession battle 37 minutes to 23. What was your reaction to the Super Bowl as the Eagles dominate? And also, by the record books, this is technically the second three-peat the Eagles stopped. One of them was in the middle. This one was right at the end. Because the Patriots, remember, they won, lost, then won, and then this one. So what was your reaction to the Super Bowl?
First of all, congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles. Their fan base, probably one of the more passionate fan bases in all of sports. you know, when you think about, you know, how long that franchise went without winning a Super Bowl, and now they've won two in 7 years, been the three in the last 7 years. You know, that's a very, you know, I would say deserving fan base for the amount of passion and energy they put into that team. But also, I will say a couple of things. The Eagles started out this season 2-2. Lost, you know, tough game on Monday night against Atlanta. And then the second game they lost before the bye was in Tampa. Had a lot of injuries going into that game. They're not going to make excuses, but they were pretty beat up going into that game.
Yep.
And after the bye week, things turned for them. I think on both sides of the football. And in all honesty, what you saw last night, I think, was the culmination of what they've done to teams, you know, all season, which is dominate the trenches.
Yep.
The offensive line manhandled, you know, with the exception of a few blitzes from Steve Spagnuolo, you know, the offense had, you know, really good time to throw the football. I think they sold out. They were in a lot of run defense last night. They were selling out to stop Saquon Barkley or slow down Saquon Barkley. And when you do that to a team like the Eagles with Jalen Hurts, with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, with Jahan Dotson, who had a big catch last night that was almost a touchdown. He went down at the one, if I'm not mistaken. You know, this is going to be a team. That's a team that you got to pick your poison. As great as Saquon is, the Eagles are more than Saquon Barkley. Which is what, you know, I've been saying, and again, that's not a slight to Saquon, but last night, 25 carries for 57 yards, the way they dominated proved they were more than Saquon Barkley. And then on the defensive side of the ball, the fact that they were able to get the pressures they were able to get, they did not blitz one time last night against Patrick Mahomes. They, you know, manhandled that Kansas City offensive line, which I know we'll get into in a moment. But it was basically, hey, we think our front four is better than your offensive line.
It was
really surprising that Matt Nagy and the Chiefs didn't make any real adjustments. I thought they would have come out in the second half and not necessarily go max protect, but would have at least tried to, you know, chip, you know, those edge rushers from the Eagles, particularly Josh Sweat, who had a dominant game last night. You know, Jalen Carter had a great game last night. Obviously, Milton Williams, who, you know, was kind of he's in the rotation with their defensive tackles, had a really good game last night. Nolan Smith had a couple plays last night. You just saw a purely dominant football team who I think coming into this week, the Super Bowl game kind of felt disrespected. Because all the talk was around the Chiefs and the three-peat and the dynasty and Mahomes being the GOAT and all this other stuff. And it's like, hey, we're here to play two. We played this team 2 years ago. We lost a very close, very tough game in the Super Bowl to them. And so, you know, I just think it was what you saw last night was the culmination of a team taking every bit of disrespect personally, and it manifested itself on the field last night, in my opinion.
Sean, I left Adam Jones one up here for a second because I wanted to know, was that performance that good where we need to put the 25 Eagles up here with those defenses, Legion of Boom, the 2000 Ravens, 85 Bears, the defense that solid?
Well, they're the last number one the Eagles were the number one defense in the NFL this year. Yes. The last number one defense to win a Super Bowl was the Denver defense that won with Peyton Manning, you know, almost 10 years ago. That defense was all time this season.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the 2000 Ravens and the 85 Bears and the Legion of Boom, we talk about those defenses, all-time defenses, not just because of that one season, but they were like that for probably like a 4 or 5 year run. Mm-hmm. I think the Eagles defense has the chance to do that, obviously, you know, because again, a lot of their guys are young. They got some free agents. They got to take care of Zach Bond, who they should just give him a blank check and whatever he wants. But you know, Milton Williams is a free agent as well. Josh Sweat is a free agent. So they got some, you know, some things they got to take care of.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Slay, because I know he's 12 years in. I don't know if he's going to
He said he's going to come back for one more. Then I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think they got to work out his contract situation, you know, just financially. So, you know, if they can keep it together, you know, and I expect this team to be right there in the conversation for the next 2 to 3 years, just because of how Howie Roseman and they've managed the cap. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is their largest cap hit, and he's only a $20 million cap hit. So they've managed the cap really well, and they got a chance to go out and get better potentially this offseason. So I think they'll be right there with those all-time defenses. You know, I've seen some dominant Eagle defenses in my lifetime. I remember that early 90s Eagles defense with Reggie White and Jerome Brown. And obviously Eric Allen, who got in the Hall of Fame last week, and, you know, Seth Joyner and Clyde Simmons. And I mean, they were just a dominant, Andre Waters, they were just a punch you in the mouth defense under Buddy Ryan. And then the 2004 defense, you know, with Javon Kurse and Brian Dawkins and Jeremiah Trotter and things like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, you know, so I think they got a chance to be one of the great ones. But it's you got to do it over time. That's the catch, you know, with those all-time defenses, I believe.
BG said this is his last year. Who was BG?
Brandon Graham. And again, BG, you know, he's retiring. And it makes sense, right?
It makes sense. Yeah, Lee, why you on top?
Yeah, and, you know, BG's got 2 rings now. Again, going to go down as one of the best Eagles, you know, ever.
Andy Reid drafted him,
you know. And so, you know, I got to say this, SB, and I know there's going to be probably a conversation. I was looking back, and outside of the Patriots with the asterisk, the Eagles have been probably the best organization of the 21st century when you talk about the NFL. When you look at the number of NFC championship games they went to in the 2000s, they played in 5 NFC championship games. They went to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And in the 2010s, they were they obviously won a Super Bowl and been in the NFC championship game in the 2010s. Mm-hmm. And now you go to the 2020s, they've been in 2 Super Bowls and won a Super Bowl. It's not a lot of organizations over a 25-year period that you can say have done that. And I'm just talking in the 21st century. You know, obviously the Patriots are going to be there because you're going to say the Patriots, you know.
Brady era.
Yeah, you're Brady. But here's the interesting thing about the Eagles that is different from the Brady era. All the Patriots' success is with Brady and Belichick. Yep. The Eagles have had success with 3 different head coaches, different quarterbacks. And obviously different roster turnover. So,
I actually will give the nod to the Eagles as being a better organization than the Patriots, because they would just carry about, like you said, one coach, one quarterback.
Right.
The Eagles been keeping their team so good, part together from top to bottom, that they MVP quarterback went out and they got it done with their backup.
Right. And Eagle fans will remind you, if you ain't one with your backup, shut up. You know, so. Yeah. You know, so I think, you know, there's a lot there when you talk about that organization. And again, it starts at the top with Jeffrey Lurie, who bought the team in 1994 from Norman Brayman, who was, you know, not a very good owner, if we're being honest, because he let Reggie White leave town for nothing. And among other things,
he should have sold the team.
But you got to say, I mean, they've had 4 coaches this century, and Andy Reid and Chip Kelly and Doug Peterson and now Nick Sirianni. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4 ain't bad, because some organizations never get it right. Mm-mm. You know, so I think they might be the preeminent organization of the 21st century, again, because of the success with multiple people at the head coach and obviously quarterback.
Yeah, though, we're sitting and thinking about it, like, yeah, they actually might be. And if you really look at, like how you say, Adam John brought the fact they only got 5 losing seasons in 25 years. That's the testament of your organization. That's the testament of who's been running the team. That's the testament of keeping everything solid, having a great foundation and a great mindset. So if I was to say, and like I have to agree with you. Actually, I think the Patriots, even if people want to argue the Patriots, I put the Eagles ahead of them. Because at the end of the day, if you had one coach, one quarterback, and if you can have that for that much long time, of course you better be good. That's telling me you're doing something good if you don't want to change your quarterback or your coach. So, but yeah, I have to agree with you on that. Going back to the Super Bowl point, I wanted to say to the point of the fact of that for them to dominate the way that they dominated, right? To dominate the way that they dominate without rushing a quarterback was fresh kiss. And we're going to get into how Patrick Mahomes played bad as he did, but that was we get into.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Him, because I don't want to hear no excuse. We definitely had a video that, who was the quarterback that we said we was going to talk about, said the video after the game, used to be the quarterback for the Chiefs.
Oh, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith lost his mind on TV. More than Terry Bradshaw did, by the way. But for me, it was a great BTA moment. The Eagles defense came to play. I know everybody want to praise the Eagles defense. And y'all will probably expect me with Normie saying that Jalen Hurts was the average quarterback, which I still think he is, which I'm going to get into now. The defensive line played outstanding. The defense as a whole played outstanding. But they got the MVP right. Jalen Hurts is the MVP, and he deserved the MVP. And people get mad when I say Jalen Hurts is the average quarterback, Sean. But you know I rock with Jalen Hurts. I just feel that way with the play, and the arm is always questionable. But so I'm going to say, for example, everybody complained about how the Eagles are so good, right? The Eagles are so good of a team, and then Jalen Hurts is the weak link. He's the weak link by committee because everybody else around is so good. Everybody, the Eagles around Jalen Hurts are the Avengers. But Jalen Hurts is Captain America. He ain't got the Wolverine claws. He ain't got the Hulk. He ain't blasting stuff. He got his shield. He gonna give you that good speech and go out there and do his job. But you can guarantee this: the Avengers cannot function without Jalen Hurts. That the day to day leadership, the day to day things he prepared his team. I can tell that he has the trust of this team. The team will run through a brick wall for him. And a lot of quarterbacks can't get that, no matter how talented you are. Like I even made, I said an argument. I think Baker's better than him right now. But I can tell you one thing: Baker can't lead a locker room like Jalen Hurts can, and that matters more than how much talent you have. I'm sorry. Because if they don't believe in you, or they don't rock with you, or they don't trust you as a quarterback, your line, your receivers, you're done. You're done. It's the reason why we only, no matter how lopsided talent-wise the Chiefs and the Eagles was, the reason why we always had some belief in their belief that they could win because they had Patrick Mahomes. And the Eagles never doubted they wasn't going to lose because they had Jalen Hurts, talent-wise. Now, like I said, Jalen Hurts, MVP. He got it. I say well-deserved. The reason why I still say he's average, Sean, even though yesterday he did his job, he made every pass he's supposed to make. The Chiefs played with fire that everybody been asking people to do against the Eagles. Go all in and stop Saquon and say, Jalen Hurts beat me. Imagine, the Eagles did this before, and the Chiefs beat them right there. Jalen Hurts had an outstanding game and lost. But this time it hit a little bit different because of how great this defense was. But also, I think Jalen Hurts actually kind of played a little bit better this game than that last game, because it was just like the timing of the throws, the dots of the throws he was doing, the impact of the throw. It was like big play passes, deep passes too for him, because, you know, they say he got the noodle arm. It's questionable. The timing, the placement, the accuracy, the dominance that he showed, the poise that he showed during this game, I tip my hat to him. I got to show my respect. But still, Sean, nothing has changed in my mind that Jalen Hurts had a good game. He's still an average quarterback to me. He just did his job. He's Captain America. He's a great leader. Did his job, hold the shield up, ran through the Chiefs, and got the W. But I still got questions with the arm consistent on a consistent basis. I don't believe that if you dismantle this team and he have like an average team like Mahomes, he gonna take them over the top. I don't believe he can do that, Sean.
All
he's
right. The average,
all right. I think I'm just saying. I still all think right. the same thing. All right.
Yeah, these backhanded compliments, you got to stop.
Backhanded?
Backhanded compliment.
All right. Said he did good.
All right. No. I mean, listen, I'm gonna be real with you. I'm gonna be very real with you. I went back and I looked at Jalen Hurts in the last Super Bowl, and obviously I watched last night. I'm gonna argue that he has played better in Super Bowls than some Hall of Fame quarterbacks have played in Super Bowls, who actually won Super Bowls. And I'm going to name one, if we want to keep it a bean.
Keep it a bean.
Peyton Manning. Jalen Hurts has played better in Super Bowls than Peyton Manning has.
Whoa. Hold on.
Peyton Manning has been to 4 Super Bowls.
Peyton.
1-2.
1-2.
That last Super Bowl, he did nothing. He did nothing.
Yeah, he was.
He got care. And he even said, thank you, Von Miller, for carrying me.
Mm-hmm.
The first Super Bowl, the one against Chicago, he was okay. But it was raining, and they ran the football. And he won the MVP, but they won because they ran the football, and they controlled the game, controlled the clock. And obviously, they were playing against the Bears, who had Rex Grossman. Okay. Who had the right last name, because he was Grossman.
Grossman. Yeah. Okay, so wait. Eli Manning, first Super Bowl.
25. No, no.
I'm sorry. Peyton Manning, first Super Bowl. 25 for 38. 65 completion percentage. 247. Average 6 yards per throw. 1 TD, 1 interception. 81 RTG. Second one against your Saints. 31 for 45. 68 completion percentage, 333 yards, 7 yards per throw, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 88.5 RTG. Third one against the Seahawks, 39 of 49, 69% completion rate, 280, 5 yards per average, 1 TD, 2 interceptions. And he had a 73.5 RTG. And then the last one where we said with the Broncos, when he played atrocious. 13 for 23, 56% completion rate, 6 yards per throw, 0 TDs, 1 interception. And if you want to go to, we just seen Jalen Hurts. Both of them was good games, outstanding games. So far, I have to agree. But he's still like Peyton Manning, though, Sean.
It's not about him being Peyton Manning. I'm just saying in the Super Bowl, he has played better in the Super Bowl than Peyton Manning has played in the Super Bowl.
I give you that. I can agree with that. I mean, the numbers don't lie. He had – Jalen Hurts have not had a bad game in the Super Bowl yet.
So, again, I think what I will always say, and what I will always say, and this was the Patriots thing, and this is going to be now the Eagles thing. Every week will look different. They will do what they have to do every week to put themselves in position to win. Some weeks is going to be, hey, we're going to run the football. This team can't stop the run. Uh-huh. If a team comes out and says, hey, we're going to sell out to stop the run, like you saw last night with the Chiefs defense, ultimately, we know we got Jalen Hurts, and we got A.J. Brown, and we got Devontae Smith, and we have Dallas Goedert, and we have Jahan Dotson. We can throw to win if we need to, and couple that with the fact that Jalen can also use his legs to help us win. So I'm just saying it's not going to – with Jalen Hurts, it will never be totally about the numbers. It will be his ability within what they ask him to do to find ways to help them win. And so that's, to me, what it ultimately is about. And, again, I think the term game manager is relative because, to me, yeah. What it says about a game manager, to me, a game manager is someone who, yeah, they may manage the game, but they also have the ability to make plays, which Jalen Hurts has the ability to make plays. And he can make plays off script. He can make plays off platform. He does that really well. That's one of his, I think, great attributes. But is he ever going to be a guy that you just say, hey, just drop back 50 times and throw the football from the pocket? No, that's not who he is. And that's, he'll never be that.
No. But also, Sean, see, look, with him being the game manager, which he is, I think if I can see this on a consistent basis with Jalen Hurts, where I can be accurate, which he was this year. This Super Bowl was how he played this year. Now, if I could get 4 or 5 years of this, I'll stop calling him average. He'll be above average. So he'd go from like a C to a C+ to me.
How many quarterbacks have played in the Super Bowl twice in the last 3 years?
I mean, look at his team, Sean. We're not going
to. No. But hold on. Let's not do this. Let's not do this. Right. This team sports is about the team.
True.
Nobody's out there winning by themselves.
No.
Nobody is. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, as great as Tom Brady is, I can tell you that people were talking about, I saw something today that said, oh, Patrick Mahomes has lost the Super Bowl by a total of 44 points. And Tom Brady only lost the Super Bowl by a total of 15 points.
I'm glad you said that.
And I said, well, okay, that's fine. Now, let's talk about Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Outside of the one in Tampa, how many of those games were blowouts that they won? None.
None. I would say none.
None of them.
I know.
So cut that crap out now. That is trash.
Yep. Well,
how many times did Adam Vinatieri come out and kick a game-winning field goal? Quite a few. So stop that trash.
It's not that I want him to be a passer quarterback. I just had always questioned his ability to throw the deep ball when needed and his accuracy. This year, he never been in a really position where he had to throw like a deep ball like that because they have been that great. But the accuracy has been on point this year. This year has been outstanding. I'm not going to hit, but I just – it's giving me still game manager vibe, which ain't nothing wrong with that because Tom Brady started off as a game manager too. I'm not saying he can't go from game manager to go. I thought Tom Brady, during his first couple of Patriots run, he was an average quarterback too.
Right. I just want to point out, just for those who are listening, thank you all for listening again. The last three seasons, Jalen Hurts' completion percentage has been 66.5, 65.4, 68.7 this season.
That's great.
So that tells me he's an accurate quarterback.
I mean, yep, 100%. He's accurate. How many years we got of this so far? Three?
Those are the last 3 years. He's only been a starter for 4 years. So this is his fourth year as a full-time starter. 2 Super Bowls, 1 Super Bowl win. A lot of people would take that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would. You got that all-star studded defense, Saquon Barkley. Thank you a lot, Giants, too, by the way. That's what I said. I wouldn't make it seem like I'm hating because I'm just addressing the point with me still feeling that he's average, but that's my only thing, like I said. He's getting there from the point of where I could say that. But ain't nothing wrong with, but y'all act like it was a crime that I called him average. But
it was.
There ain't no crime. I got away.
Because you're saying he's middle of the pack. He ain't middle of the pack.
What's middle of the pack? Like what, 15?
15, 16. He's not middle of the pack.
After the Super Bowl, when we gonna pump him up. So he probably be like 10 now.
Before the Super Bowl, I said on this very podcast, SB, to you, that I would make an argument that he is the best quarterback in the NFC. So at the end of the day, we understand what Jalen Hurts is. He's a above right. average quarterback. Now, again, I'm not putting him in the same class of Patrick Mahomes and Lamar and Josh Allen. Joe Burrow's a conversation, but that's a different conversation. But I'm going to say Joe Burrow just out of respect because I know how good he is.
Okay. So we ranking Jalen Hurts right now. I'll give you a quarterback name. You tell me if he's over. Let's not go. Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Hold on, Blue Ball. Hold on, Blue Ball. We're going to get to your card, Blue Ball. Patrick Mahomes?
No.
Lamar Jackson?
No.
Josh Allen?
No.
Joe Burrow?
No.
Justin Herbert?
Yes.
We'll keep going. Who was next? Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Dak Prescott.
Hell yes.
I knew that. I was hating. I was trying to like throw a couple other quarterbacks in front of him. Hold on. I was trying to throw a couple quarterbacks in front of him, but I knew it. I was trying to hold Jalen Hurts. I was trying to hold Dak Prescott to the end, but no, we're going to keep going, though. Okay, wait. So you say only people you got above him right now is?
The four in the AFC.
The four in the AFC. C.J. Stroud?
No.
C.J. Stroud, no, so that's five.
I don't have – no, I'm sorry. No, I would take Jalen Hurts over C.J. Stroud right now.
Okay, yeah. So we got four, just the four in the AFC. Yeah. Said Jared Goff.
I would take Jalen Hurts.
Jordan Love.
I would take Jalen Hurts right now.
Baker Mayfield.
I would absolutely take Jalen Hurts right now.
Michael Penix.
Rookie, still it's too early, way too early.
I just threw that in and just see what you're gonna say.
Yeah, I like Michael Penix a lot. I think he's got a lot of upside, but yeah, just too early. No, so I think it's feasible to say Jalen Hurts is a top five quarterback, and I don't think that's disrespectful to the guys beneath him. It's just, you know.
So
imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to five times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
If I'm calling him average, what should he be? Is he an elite quarterback there?
I think he's an above average quarterback. I think the four guys in the AFC I would put in the top tier. Joe Burrow is probably the only one I would have a conversation about.
We ain't doing that.
But the issue with Joe Burrow is we are living in that Super Bowl run they went on and the fact that they beat Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. But they ain't done nothing else since.
No, so, they haven't.
And that's my point. So that's what I'm saying. I think it's a conversation about Joe Burrow. And this isn't Joe Burrow the talent. This is Joe Burrow and what he does in the situation that he's in. Mm-hmm. Because I think those other guys in those situations do well when things aren't great around them and they find a way to win. I can't always say that about Joe Burrow. And again, I'm not blaming Joe Burrow for that because, again, it's a team game. I'm just saying I don't think he's at the same level of Lamar, Patrick, and Josh Allen.
Okay. Shout out Blue Ball. Blue Ball said, what's cracking, SB and Sean? Jalen Hurts is a more talented Russell Wilson, but I wouldn't call him a game manager. I give my left foot to have a Jalen Hurts on my Giants. I mean – well, y'all situation, I would too, but I mean, not to disrespect Jalen Hurts when I say this, but if Jalen Hurts was on the Giants, he'd just be Daniel Jones because that's just how bad of a team y'all have. Like everybody cries about Patrick Mahomes being on the Bears. I guarantee you, if Patrick Mahomes was on the Bears, he'd be Mitch Trubisky. And it is your organization depends on how great you're going to be as a quarterback. There's only so much you can do coming into a situation with a team and you can be great. If you come into a scenario bad, you will never be great at all. At all. Josh Allen, who's great now, he came in a good situation with Buffalo, who developed him up. He played in Wyoming. He was at Wyoming. So it ain't like he was just Alabama or this great quarterback. But also, drafting a quarterback from a basketball school is, I always question that. Woolwich said, fun fact, Carson Wentz was on the sideline for both Eagles Super Bowl wins.
Where he belongs.
Where he belongs. That's crazy. Tim said he top five. He said, we see he wins more than some of the top five quarterbacks. Only one he went more than is what, Joe Burrow?
No, I mean, listen, you know, all respect to Lamar and Josh Allen. Neither of them have been to a Super Bowl yet. Been to conference championship games, yeah, but not to a Super Bowl. So, you know, I mean,
for the point, and I play devil's advocate against, even against myself for 1 second. But the point of what I hear people argue, even with like Tom Brady, especially with the Tom Brady issue, I would say, because about the winning stuff matters. Then it, if you got to keep the same energy for Jalen Hurts, then yes, he should be in a, we should talk about him differently, because how we talk about people who winning and half they winners came when they was a game manager, we treat them as the GOAT, which he is. I think we should start treating Jalen Hurts differently. I wouldn't be mad at it, I should say.
Yeah, again, I think it's always gonna come down to preference, but it's also gonna come down to, there are things that Jalen Hurts can do that Tom Brady could never do. Okay. Yes. And everything that Jalen Hurts, that Tom Brady could do, that Jalen Hurts, you know, could never do. Jalen Hurts would never leave his baby mama while she's pregnant. You know, so I'm just saying, you know, they're different. You know,
I mean,
Jalen Hurts ain't gonna have a MAGA hat sitting up in his locker. You know, I'm just saying. You know, I mean, so they're different.
I mean, but Jalen Hurts, baby mama ain't getting bent over by the yoga instructor. I mean,
I'm talking about his first baby mama, not
the actress.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. I don't think Jalen Hurts seems like a stand up guy.
You know,
We get the last two. Joe Burrow can't beat even Lamar Jackson's own division. I mean, that's true, but y'all got the tough division though. Jalen Hurts is definitely top five. Now, I would agree. I would argue CJ Stroud for that fifth spot, but I'd give an edge to Hurts. I think after this season, after winning the bowl, I would. But before this season, no way.
And I also say this. I think a lot of these quarterbacks, the arrow's pointing up. When you talk about CJ Stroud, when you talk about Jordan Love, when you talk about Jaden Daniels, the arrow's definitely pointing up, you know, a lot of these guys.
And then also the Giants don't have a good O-line. Yeah, because if Jalen Hurts ain't got that tush push, that's another mental. That's another thing, Jack Weaver. He need that tush push, dog. And the Giants O-line is going to be the opposite of the tush push. Y'all going to get ran through. Y'all going to get Jalen Hurts hurt. But also, Jalen Hurts won the MVP. What do you got to say about people who's making an argument for somebody on the defensive side of the ball, especially that D-line who was attacking? Even with me calling Jalen Hurts average, I said there's no way that you do not get Jalen Hurts that MVP. That man put on that Captain America. I told you, he Captain America, bro, with the Avengers, bro. Compared to the other superheroes, he don't look as amazing. All he got is a shield and that green Eagles logo on him. But guess what? They need him, though. The Eagles can't function without him. I think he well deserved. Like I said, he made every pass he posed and made. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes again. He made the runs when he needed to make a run. The excuse of that Saquon Barkley, which I even thought that they couldn't win without Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley did not have a good game at all. And Jalen Hurts literally led them to victory. So,
and I want to say this about Saquon just real quick. He didn't have a good game running the ball, but he was great in pass pro yesterday. Oh, yes. Some of those blitz pickups that he made, he showed his value is far more than just him carrying the football.
Yeah, Giants.
You know, so – you know, now as far as Jalen Hurts and the MVP, for me, there was no question that he was the MVP. Obviously, you know, if you could give it to a unit, to me, the MVP, if you gave it to a unit, was both the O-line and the D-line. I think both of them dominated that. They dominated that game, you know, to me. So, but the fact is Jalen Hurts is the MVP. And I'll tell you this about Jalen Hurts. He just happened to get the Super Bowl trophy. The MVP is cool, but he preferred the Super Bowl trophy over that. So,
Sean, so we got to go to the other side of the quarterback too, man. And I feel that Patrick Mahomes just had his 2011 LeBron James moment. RP, Patrick Mahomes. We're going to start calling the 2025 Mahomes moment. This was the 2011 LeBron James moment. And hear me out before y'all get to going crazy thinking it's like a slight to LeBron, because it's not. So if you have not noticed during this whole era of this, the 3-peat thing coming up, what we have been talking about, the GOAT debate. And the NFL is missing that one thing. And I feel like NFL, if not the NFL media side, wants the NFL to have a Jordan versus LeBron GOAT debate, but battle for the NFL, Brady versus Mahomes, which we have had so far. And they want it so bad. And as a lot of people say, he better than Brady. His 3P could make him better than Brady. And I said, this was his 2011 LeBron moment, because the stats do not tell you the truth. Because the stats tell you Patrick Mahomes played okay. He did not play nowhere near okay, Sean. They say he went 21 for 32, right? 257 yards, 8 yards per average, 3 TDs, 2 interceptions, and a 95 RTG. And this is why sometimes we got to actually watch the games, don't necessarily go off on stats, because we'll look at that and be like, oh, well, Mahomes, he just went out of luck. No, he played terrible. All any positive stats came when they was up by, they was down by 30, 40 points. The game was clearly over. All garbage time points, all garbage time stats. They're going to bring this up anytime when they say, hey, years later down the line, when Holmes go try to get another ring, or he's buffing up on all the stat sheets, you know what they're going to say? He getting better than Brady, because remember what happened in 2025 Mahomes. Even the same thing with, like, LeBron still goes to, you know, oh, and LeBron ain't better than Jordan. Oh, you know why? 2011, he choked. Mahomes choked. LeBron choked. And even they even made it so obvious of it, Sean. And this is the one time I say that Tom Brady, obviously he's 50-50 on the in the booth. When it was time to protect this legacy, he locked in. He showed locked in when he was talking about when Mahomes was losing and talking about compared to him, anything that was doing him. Sean, you see how he was on his P's and Q's to talk about that. Oh, you know, this what was going on with this. So I believe this is gonna be in Mahomes. This is gonna be a thorn in Mahomes' career for the rest of his career, if he'll be in the go debate. But am I wrong for saying this right here is the Patrick Mahomes LeBron James moment, 2011 LeBron moment, because how bad he played?
Obviously Patrick Mahomes did not play the game he thought he wanted to play yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that functionally had to do what was going up front, right? As much as, again, we praise these quarterbacks, I think sometimes we blame them a little too much as well. Yep. The offensive line was an absolute mess. And again, credit the Eagles for taking advantage of it. You know, Joe Thuney had been playing left tackle. He's a left guard, which means they were using a backup at left guard, and that's the Eagles attacked him, and obviously they attacked Juwan Taylor quite a bit. So I don't want to say 2011 LeBron. I'm going to go back a little further. I'm going to call it 84 Magic.
Oh, Tragic Bronson?
Yeah.
Tragic?
Yeah, because it's not like Mahomes hasn't won, hasn't led, helped lead teams to championships. It was just he had a bad game at the worst possible time, but also the stuff around him wasn't great. And again, I thought from a coaching perspective, they didn't do a good job of making great adjustments. They didn't try to run the football. They didn't try to establish the run game at all with Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. When it was very clear that the Eagles weren't blitzing, they were only going to rush 4. They waited. The third quarter, they kind of went to a little quick passing game where they got some really quick passes to Worthy, who had a good game statistically anyway. But the Eagles, you know, did a good job of tackling in space, you know, as well. I just thought it was for as good. The thing about Patrick Mahomes is, and I think what we've gotten used to with Patrick Mahomes over the last 3 years was his ability to save that team and to cover up the deficiencies on that team. And last night against a team that obviously we know from a talent perspective is the most talented roster in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And couple that with his counterpart playing much better than he did, there was not a lot Patrick Mahomes was going to be able to do last night. So I think I don't want to put too much on Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, he didn't play well, but a lot of that I think was functionally what was going on around him, and they weren't able to adjust and didn't adjust like they could have.
Sean, you don't even got to put too much on Patrick Mahomes because they already bailed him out. Former quarterback Alex Smith, I want to play this clip real quick. Let me cover it up just in case that I want to get hit with a strike. But this is Alex Smith talking about what happened with Mahomes, saying that Mahomes is out there by himself. Sean, tell me if you agree or disagree.
What happened? I love what Pat said there. He's an ultimate leader. This guy's going to step up to the plate. He loves to compete. He's holding himself very accountable. He talked about his standards. Yeah. But the truth is, this guy's masked a lot this entire season leading up to this. And this is an offensive line that got exposed today. Patrick didn't have any help out there. I mean, the running backs had a combined 7 carries for 24 yards right there. Xavier Worthy came on at the end, but obviously a lot of that was kind of garbage time to finish things up. Like he was out there by himself, right? And again, I love him taking accountability, but they got to address some things this offseason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the shuffle things around, again, we moved Joe Tooney out to left tackle. I know that got talked about a lot, but like all of a sudden we got a backup left guard in there going against some amazing pass rushers on the right side. Taylor had struggled on the right side. All of a sudden we've weakened. We got 3 weak spots up front. We can't.
Now, look, Sean, which is everything that was Alex Smith, former quarterback of the Chiefs, by the way. See, my only problem is this, right? You even just alluded to this, and I can agree with that with the line, with the hit the shuffle. That's fine. Bad. The offensive line play atrocious. But it was times where even when Mahomes had a chance to make a play or had a chance to make a throw, Mahomes did bad. Like the 2 interceptions, not even really like pressure, but those are bad throws.
Well, the second one to Zach Bond is not on him because he was getting hit as he's throwing. Mm-hmm. So because basically Josh Sweat pushed Tooney into him. And if you watch the replay, Tooney is in Patrick Mahomes' left leg when he's stepping in to throw. So I'm not putting that on Patrick Mahomes. The first one, obviously, he didn't see Cooper DeJean, came out. And again, I think the Eagles were playing more zone than I think they expected last night. And so, again, one, you can live with that. Second one, though, I think the Bond one, that's not on Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. What you saw last night, and to me, SB, I think ultimately, and remember when they played the Bucs in the Super Bowl, the Bucs attacked those 2 tackles because they had 2 backups playing left and right tackle because of injury.
Yeah.
And that's why, the Bucs literally went after that, the whole guy. I think Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, they feasted, and Pat was running for his life. And they knew, particularly that time with Pat, was he's always going to try to make something.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And happy, he's going to always try to make something happen. So he's running. I mean, he's running around 30, 40 yards, diagonally just to make a 7-yard pass, So again, I think the Eagles took great advantage of the Chiefs' weaknesses last night, particularly on the offensive line. And that's what you saw. But to me, it goes back to how do you build a football team? Take care of the trenches. Mm-hmm. Offensive line, defensive line. When you have those 2 areas shored up, and I will point to a team up north in Detroit That's what they did for like two or three straight years, was they invested in those trenches. And that's when you start to see them have some success they had outside. All your weapons outside, it looks great. We compliment it. We talk about it. But this is always a game that's won and lost in the trenches. And the Eagles showed that last night. And you hope NFL teams were taking notes that, hey, if we're not good in the trenches, we're not getting there. Yeah. Simple as that. We don't care. You can have an all-world quarterback. That's great. Mm-hmm. But you better make sure you're good in the trenches as well.
Now, a lot of teams could go through that. But that was kind of also from the other point of this, I was expecting, like, this going through, like, I think the NFL wants a Jordan LeBron go debate battle for the NFL, but Brady and Mahomes, it's so obvious. Especially, I say it could be the media. You know, the main part of the media who's gonna push it. That's like the First Takes and the Stephen A. That's all they really want to care about is go debate. But I also, the reason why I think the NFL wants it, because that opens up another fan base. Another fan base is like the people basketball. I'm explaining basketball wise. Like, it's Jordan fans and LeBron fans who gonna debate Jordan and LeBron all day. And they don't even probably even watch football, but they keep the attention going online all the time. Jordan fans still argue Jordan and LeBron and probably ain't been watching the NBA because they only care about the Jordan era. And LeBron fans only probably watching it just because, like, the LeBron thing. I just think it's just another attention grabber that the NFL want to have, another just something else they can just add to it. Am I wrong for thinking that? Because I feel like that's all they've been pushing, and they pushed somebody to be over Brady. And now I believe it was First Take that said it. That now, Joe Montana needs to be back in the mix now too. I'm like, dang, you just shoved Joe out the way anyway. I was like, but I can understand it. But am I wrong for thinking that the NFL wants a Jordan and LeBron type GOAT debate discussion for the daily NFL talk?
No, you're not wrong, because the NFL has done everything in its power to be a 24/7 league when it's not playing games. You know, so no, you're not wrong. They understand the landscape that we're in from a media perspective, and they want to take advantage of that as much as anyone. The problem is, for me, and why you and I will never have this debate, just as you and I will never have a Jordan LeBron debate.
Nope.
Is I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think it's always going to come down to preference. Mm-hmm. And often the preference is who you saw versus not. And as we get further away, and younger generations won't have seen Tom Brady play.
Yep.
Many of them never saw Joe Montana play.
Mm-hmm. That's why nobody talk about Joe. And Joe was a dog.
You know, and also some of it is that a lot of these all-time greats are not present or constantly in the media or constantly in front of the camera talking about themselves and their careers, and because that's just not what they do. They did what they did, they're happy with what they did, and they moved on, you know. So of course the NFL wants it, because that's what media, a lot of this media is today. But you know, at the end of the day, for me, it's pointless, and you will never hear me have a back and forth about who's better.
Kato, you do like the tears. Do you think was this loss big enough, or like would it tarnish Mahomes' resume enough that it will stop him from being like tier one at the end of his career?
No, I mean, again, he's got a, you know, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, I think turns 29 at the end of this year.
That's crazy. September. He ain't even 30 yet. That's crazy.
He's still got a lot of time left. And also, every year he's been a starter since 2018, the Chiefs have been no less in the AFC Championship game.
And that's the worst roster he had.
Yeah. No less.
Super Bowl.
And they've been in 5 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
7 AFC Championship games, 5 Super Bowls. That's nothing to sneeze at. You know how difficult that is, given the attrition of football and free agency and how rosters change? That is not easy. No. So he's still got a lot of resume to write. I think we just got to stop with the whole who's better and just enjoy what we're seeing.
That ain't going to happen. Everybody got to be right on.
But I'm going to always push for that. Just enjoy what you're watching, because then it does not last forever.
Yeah. Now, Sean, we got to go into some off-season stuff real quick. Speaking of, like, awards and stuff, we forgot to talk about this last week, the NFL Awards recap. You want to go down a list or of what who won or the award, or you just want to talk about the
Award? You can name the awards and go down the list and talk about them. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's go ahead. NFL Awards. Let's go ahead and type this up. 20 list honors. All right. Ready. So, I just say the award, and you tell me if it's worth stopping to talk about it, or you just be like, agree, we can move forward. All right. First award, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Rams pass rusher Jared Verse. Is it worth talking about, or you want to move on?
I mean, we can move on. I thought he had a really good year, but I didn't think he was a Defensive Rookie of the Year. But he had a really good year.
I thought it was a guy from the Eagles. I'm not gonna lie, the rookie from the Eagles.
Yeah.
Next one, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jay Daniels.
No surprise there.
No surprise. A lot of people was arguing because of the fact of like how Bo Nick's numbers count up, but I'm like, at the end of the day, this kid took them next level. I ain't gonna lie. Even though the Broncos and the Commanders was good, but like. The Commanders, like, arguably up there with the Eagles. If not, sometimes people thought they was better than the Eagles during the season. There's no point in time, no matter how good Bo Nix played, nobody thought he was better than the Chiefs. The Defensive Player of the Year, Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, well-deserved. He had an amazing season for a Broncos team that, again, I don't think a lot of people had, in the conversation of before the season of being a playoff team. And he's the best corner in the game.
Yeah.
I know he doesn't play in the same market as Sauce Gardner, but he's the best corner in the game.
He's the best corner. So,
you know.
Big Packers are 10. Offensive Player of the Year, Saquon Barkley.
Again, no surprise there.
No surprise here. You know, MVP is quarterback award. Comeback Player of the Year, Joe Shiesty.
Second time he's won that award. He means he got to stop getting hurt. But obviously, he had a tremendous year. No surprise there.
No surprise. Coach of the Year, Kevin O'Connell for the Vikings.
Again, no surprise when you look at, you know, losing Kirk Cousins, getting Sam Darnold, resurrecting kind of his career. Having the season they had, again, I don't think many people had Minnesota doing what they did this year. I know people had them finishing fourth in the division. Tremendous season for them. I think well deserved.
All right, the big one right here, MVP, Josh Allen.
You can start first.
Oh, he shouldn't have won it. It's easy. He shouldn't have won it. It's like. I'm not mad that he won it because both of them had a good year. But when everybody makes a case for him, they just bring up a narrative. I haven't heard not one person argue a case for Josh Allen MVP, which I'm not saying he don't deserve it. For somebody else say this and be like, oh, what you mean? He didn't deserve it. I'm not saying he did not deserve MVP. All I'm saying is everybody I heard make a case for Josh Allen winning the MVP over Lamar Jackson or even Saquon Barkley, they had a narrative attached to it. Oh, it was only narratives only. And that's my only problem with it. That's my only problem with it. But I definitely had Lamar Jackson as the MVP. How can you have a guy on the first team that's not MVP and his numbers are all around, like, better? That's because, like, the Bills didn't, like, look substantially better. Like, they didn't look like overwhelmingly better than the Ravens at all. It's just nobody expected them to be this good. That's it. And Josh Allen balled out. Simple math. So I'm not mad at it, Sean, but I'm just saying that my only problem I have is that everybody who made a case for it and people who even voted that I hear Lily said they were saying they voted because of a narrative, which was wild for me to hear. But go ahead. I want to hear you.
So as we did our preseason award picks.
Yep.
You know, we picked our preseason awards, and I picked Josh Allen to win the MVP. And I recall saying at the time, the reason why I'm picking him to win the MVP is because of how the media is, and they're going to push the narrative about Josh Allen, one, never having won one, mm-hmm. and two, the fact that, you know, he lost Stephon Diggs, and that team is, it was going to be a lot of narrative around Josh Allen.
Bro, the crazy part about it is that age, like the finest wine, and you can have your cake, eat or play, because word for word, bar for bar, play for play, is literally what everybody said. Sean had the script there. If you had the script there, man, you should have gave me the parlay, man. You got the script like this. I need the parlay, brother. Word for word, flow for flow, bar for bar. Legitly, he said, like, legitly. Go back and look at the past episodes of our season, NFL season prediction. It's right there. We did it. Sean said that word for word, verbatim.
So I'm going to be clear here. I have no problem with someone voting for Josh Allen for MVP. My problem is those who switch their vote, who had Lamar first team all pro at quarterback, that switched their vote to Josh Allen for MVP. Mm-hmm. When the last quarterback to win an MVP who was second team all pro was Steve McNair. And guess what? It was a co-MVP with the first all-team pro quarterback, Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. You could have easily did that.
The only number by which we measure quarterbacks that Josh Allen was better than Lamar Jackson this season was in rushing touchdowns, which, again, for years, people didn't want to measure that as a part of a quarterback, the quarterback position. Now we're pushing the, you know, and also I also want to remind people, the Baltimore Ravens had the fifth toughest schedule this year. Fifth. The Buffalo Bills, by comparison, had the 22nd toughest schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills won one more game than the Ravens did this season. So if you're making this about win-loss, fifth toughest schedule versus 22nd toughest schedule. And I know there are people who are going to say, hey, Josh Allen, they beat undefeated Kansas City. They went to Detroit and beat Detroit in Detroit.
Great.
Big wins. But how you conveniently don't want to talk about the game in Houston.
Mm-mm.
Or, hey, let's talk about their game head up on Sunday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, my problem is keep the same energy. And they didn't. Keep the same energy, and you didn't. This was the – I want to be careful. I can't say what I really want to say. Here, dog, dang, you finally got one. That's what this MVP feels like, and that's sad because I can't say definitively that Josh Allen was the MVP because nobody seems to have a criteria for what valuable means when we talk about the MVP. And that is a massive problem to me, SB. And it's a problem we're going to continue to have until we put some definition around it. Probably. Particularly now that it's a quarterback award. And also, I also want to remind people, when people talk about loss, yes, Josh Allen lost Stephon Diggs and Gabe. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
They also traded for a Pro Bowl receiver during the season in Amari Cooper.
People don't talk about that, though. We don't talk about Amari Cooper. We just forgot Amari Cooper was there.
We're not going to talk about that. Also, mm-hmm. we're not going to talk about that. They won't talk about how Baltimore had three new starters on the offensive line. Three.
And still look crazy. Numbers still looked crazy this year.
Three.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's going to talk about that.
ain't talking about that.
You know, so I'm just saying, and we're not going to talk about how also the Baltimore defense struggled the first part of the season, particularly basically the first half of the season, because they had a lot of losses, not just in players, but also in coaching.
Yeah, Lamar so, kept them afloat.
Again, let's keep the same energy. These teams change over all the time. That's the nature of the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of it. That's what they want. That's why they don't. That's why they have a hard cap.
Yep.
And so, at the end of the day, let's keep the same energy. That's all I'm saying.
Also, the one thing that, like, I lost my mind when I heard this, and I was like, we need to start. When people come up and say they voters, or they need to start, like, I like when they started exposing people votes to see who votes, because we need to start having like a penalty and criteria for when it comes to people voting. Because, like you said, I definitely did get the dang here type MVP, because I literally heard one dude say, I gave Lamar the first team all one, and I gave Josh Allen MVP to reward the MVP. Like, what? Like, that, like, yeah, I'm gonna get one and the other. Like, no, you could have just voted for a co-MVP if you thought that. That's why I don't like that. Like you said, I feel like it's like, hey, dang, Josh Allen, huh? Finally get one, bro.
And I'll tell you how bad it is, SB. One voter had Lamar fourth.
Now, that was out of line. That was wow. Fourth is out of line. I seen that. Out of line.
Fourth.
I think that was Jim Miller, wasn't it?
I think it was Jim Miller.
Out of line.
How do you justify that? What did you see this season from a quarterback who, let me throw some numbers at you, the fourth highest rated quarterback season in NFL history, only behind Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning?
I don't know. I see that. I was like, what?
41 touchdown passes to 4 interceptions. And if you really want to talk about it, 3 of those interceptions weren't even on him.
They wasn't. I was lost when I seen that, dog. I said, you got Lamar fourth. Third, and you could sneak and justify putting him at third. I still think you're wrong. That'd be like you probably had Saquon high. Because then if I see Lamar Jackson third, Josh Allen got to be second. You got to have Saquon Barkley one. That's what I would think. Because I think he had Joe Barrow, but I'm like, bro, Joe Barrow wasn't even in the playoffs. How's he the MVP? He was playing good, though. Because I even questioned that. Why did Joe Barrow get rewarded? Even though he was playing out of his mind, I still feel like he shouldn't have got rewarded the all-pro team over the Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes literally only lost one or two games. Joe Barrow don't care if he carried the team or not, but he ain't winning. We got a reward winning, like, at some point. That's all I'm saying.
So, yeah. So, all I'm saying is for me, I think Lamar's greatness gets judged against itself.
Yes.
The man won 2 previous MVPs. This was statistically his best season as a former MVP, and it still wasn't good enough for voters. And again, if you said, hey, I got Josh Allen first team all pro, Lamar second, okay. But if you had Lamar first team all pro and you voted for Josh Allen MVP, I have a problem. I got a problem. Because again, keep the same energy.
Yeah. I would just gave Josh Allen the first MVP. Hey, look, Josh Allen the first team because, or you know, his team just needed him. He lost Stephon Diggs. He just the value of him. Okay, put him at first team for that. Okay, tell me, Lamar first team because his numbers and how he played, you know, the team got injured, and then he just number one. Then go for the option. No, like you said, keep the same energy. Let me know if you guys think should have won MVP. Let us know. Comment down below. Also, we got to get into some more NFL. The San Francisco 49ers, Grant Debo saying he was the permission to seek a trade. Best fit scenario, Sean, if you can get 3, give me 3. But if not, it's cool. Give me best. Who should be calling the San Francisco 49ers for Mr. Debo Samuels?
I would say New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say just for fun, I'm gonna say the LA Chargers.
LA Chargers. Yeah, you know we need a receiver though. So my three, the teams that should be calling them. One team, but I think he will fit excellent on, but I don't believe they have the money for it, is the Dolphins. But it's just my honorary mention because I don't know about the money situation. The teams, if I was the teams I would call, I would definitely go on the Chargers. Chargers for sure. I am definitely going the Washington Commanders for sure, because they got a play style where they can use him and make him as versatile as he can be. And my next team that if I was them, I'd be calling for them, Baltimore Ravens. I will try to make the money, make it happen. Make it happen. Baltimore, make it happen. That's what I was. I would say another team, but I don't want them to get another receiver. I would, matter of fact, they ain't got the money because of that Russell Wilson cap hit. I would say the Broncos. He'd be nice on the Broncos too with Bo Nix, but I don't know what they're looking at. Let us know what you think. Debo saying you should go. Or who should be calling for them? Chargers, make it happen. Actually, no. Maybe we might need to go get Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams said he want to go back to the West Coast too. By the way, so I don't know. They could do a head straight up for straight up trade. Debo Samuels for. Devontae Adams. I don't know. I ain't never really seen that.
I mean, the Devontae Adams cap or contract situation has to be worked out. So I don't see. I think he's gonna get released.
You don't ever really see that in NFL like that though. Like usually, like you don't ever see like a wide receiver for a wide receiver type trade. D tag. They usually be like picks.
It's rare. I mean, the last one I can remember right off is Keyshawn Johnson for Joey Galloway.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's rare when it happened like that. Oh, now speaking of New York Jets and Devontae Adams. The New York Jets have a four Aaron Rodgers that they are moving on from here. No shocker to being you, Sean. Unless you were shocked, please let me know. Is another team for to pick up Aaron Rodgers, or this is the last we've seen of Aaron Rodgers?
I think Aaron Rodgers will play again, definitely. I think of two teams right off that I think will be in on Aaron Rodgers, one more than the other. The first, Steelers, obviously. He does have a good relationship with Mike Tomlin. The Steelers would definitely be one of those teams. But the primary team for me would be the Raiders. The Raiders. You know, you got Pete Carroll. Chip Kelly is the offensive coordinator. You know, Brock Bowers. You know, I think you understand Aaron Rodgers is a bridge quarterback, and if you want to be competitive in that division, where every team in that division made the playoffs, probably want to get a veteran guy who, you know, can help you win some games while you're developing a young guy behind him. So Steelers and the Raiders would be the two teams that I would think would probably be in on Aaron Rodgers. And I think he also, as a guy from the West Coast, from California, he wants to be on the West Coast. I think that would probably be the match for him.
You kind of messed my head up with the Steelers, but I wouldn't even think about this. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers jersey might intrigue some people. If you can make something happen, Russell Wilson, even with an old Aaron Rodgers, you could make something happen still. He can't walk two steps side to side fast, but he can still throw the ball. He's just a statue. You just got to protect him.
I mean, his stats this season were eerily similar to the MVPs, so clearly he can still play.
He can still play. I should say the Minnesota Vikings just to be funny, so he can fall in a Brett Favre category. The same Packers story. We hear that, but I doubt. I think they're gonna pay Sam Darnold, but if they don't, I say the Vikings are on my watch list. I go Vikings. I would say your Saints, but I don't think he will go to the Saints. That's the thing I say. I would say your Saints. I don't think he'll go to your Saints.
I mean, it's just not a. It's not a. The Saints have issues right now. It's just not a good
fit. Yeah. So I actually agree with you. I just add the Vikings on my list, but I go Steelers and Raiders. You sold me on the Steelers. I wasn't even thinking about it. Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders, Adam Jones said. Yeah, possibly. Next up on the list, we got to go to the NBA. Appreciate all you guys watching. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe. You've been rocking with us this long. Make sure share it out. Let them know. Sean, so, you know, there's a lot of things have been going on in the NBA since the trade deadline. Also, Luka Magic is prepared to make his preview today against the Utah Jazz with the Lakers. hopefully go better than what this star right here we're talking about now, Anthony Davis. Dallas star Anthony Davis will likely, that's crazy, Dallas Maverick star Anthony Davis, that still don't seem right to me. Dallas Maverick star Anthony Davis is likely to miss a couple of weeks with a left abductual strain from a non-contact injury. So, imagine, shout out watching the game. I'm like, man, AD killing, playing defense. And and because he's from Chicago, I'm going to support AD with dog. I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to think about the AD experience. But Dallas Mavericks fans got the full Anthony Davis experience in a day, three quarters, dog. I have never seen it happen so fast. It used to be like he had two, three good games, then something happened. To get the full Anthony Davis experience in one game, it's karma. Especially when I talk about his owner, how he been talking and how they've been treating Luka. Karma is real, ladies and gentlemen. Karma is real. And it went to the fault of AD. First quarter, blocking shots, ducking. He going crazy. Crowd saying, I'm here. And I even looked around like social media. The Dallas fans was like, oh, we might be okay. Maybe we need to call off the hit on Nico. Sorry, but that, maybe we need to be, hey man, no, he cool. He might have cooked something up. He might have cooked something up. About a third, this man had 26, 16 shots. He was on pace to probably go for 30, a 30-20 game. Not going to lie. Did AD get injured off a non-contact? I thought he got hit in the lower area. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, oh, he just hit him in the group. Then they replayed it, and I'm like, wait, he didn't touch him. The full AD experience of this, Sean. Start playing like a top-five player. Start playing like a top-five defender. And then just get hurt out of nowhere. That's the Anthony Davis experience. Full blow. Ball out. Oh, man, this might be one of the best players in the league because I'm sorry. AD healthy is one of the best players in the league, but the problem is AD ain't healthy. But what was your reaction to this? Was it karma? Are you shocked? And do you think they got the full AD experience? Did I get the full AD experience down right, or did I miss a part in the story?
No. My reaction, SB, was water is wet.
It's just the facts of the situation. Huh?
Yeah.
AD, I didn't want my boy to get hurt.
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously, if you're Dallas, obviously it's the last, you know, week and a half for Dallas has not been great. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, just kind of adds to that. I think Adam John said in the chat that Nico Harrison is hiding in a bunker right now. You're probably right.
Yeah.
You know. So you know, I mean, obviously this is one and I think this is one of the reasons why for those that were saying, oh, the Mavericks definitely are, you know, contenders and can get to the finals again. This is always the pause that you get with AD because, you know, it was just it's you're gonna see. I tell you what, you're gonna see every game with AD, generally speaking, it's called the tad low, it's the Anthony Davis limp off. And when he limped off, it was like, oh, it's tad low, it's the tad low all tad over, low. You know. So, not surprised, you know. And again, I think the big thing for them is don't rush him back because you're trying to make a playoff push. Make sure he's healthy before he comes back.
Y'all ain't got no chemistry together. By the time y'all play the playoffs, y'all will get destroyed. I hope they play the Lakers in the first round. I hope they do.
I don't care.
Lakers at five.
I don't even care.
Hey, Adam John said, AD said, I'm here for the Mavericks medical staff. He said, oh, man, but nah, this was just, like you said, water is wet with this situation, bro. But also, we got to talk to this man have lost his mind. Mavericks owner called out Luka's character problem in a stunning interview. So, instead of just coming out saying the truth, because now it's starting to get a little too serious with what's going on, especially like Nico. So, Sean, your theory, I ain't going to say your theory. You made a statement saying that, like, you don't make a move like this unless you got the approval for higher up. So, it's starting to sound like higher ups came down and told Nico going to be the fall guy. And see, like, higher-ups came down and said, hey, Nico, trade Luka Doncic. And Even they said Mark Cuban tried to stop it. They kept it out. They kept it in the dark from Mark Cuban until like the last minute, because he had to find out at some point. But by the time he found out, trade was already done. Luka was already out the door. But they already started exposing that it's bigger than basketball. It sounded like some money situation where they want a casino allegedly, or they're gonna move the team to Vegas, or they're gonna like dismantle the team or destroy the team. But I figured like, you destroying the team, won't that hurt you more? Because I'm like, I wouldn't fold. Like you own the team, okay? You made Dallas trash. It's gonna be sucks for this sucks for us, but you made the team bad. Because it ain't like the Dallas, if you worry about the city of Dallas losing money, they got the Dallas Cowboys. They gonna make money during that time, no matter how trash the Cowboys. Jerry Jones already showed you. Being trash don't make no difference in Dallas. I guess you, if you want to turn a team away, like what they did, being disgusted about it, 100%. But Sean, this where I had a much bigger problem with the owner. The owner named Patrick Dumont, he said, the reason I'm trading Luka, if you look at the greats in the league, the people you and I grew up with, Michael Jordans, the Larry Birds, the Kobe Bryants, the Shaq O'Neal, the Shaquille O'Neals. They work really hard every day with a singular focus to men. Dumas said, and if you do not have that, it doesn't work. And if you do not have that, you shouldn't be a part of the Dallas Mavericks. Have you lost your goddamn... I don't need curse like that, but Sean, I got it. Have you lost your goddamn mind? Have you lost your mind? First of all, this Dallas, y'all don't get superstars. You got to draft superstar. Ask Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban tried to get everybody. He got nobody. The biggest star I think he ever probably got was who, what? Kyrie Irving and Ron Butler probably. That's one. And then two, Shaquille O'Neal will tell you out his own god darn mouth, he ain't work hard like that. Shaq was just dominant. To use Shaquille O'Neal, who's really been out of shape, who's been out of shape multiple times, and who told you he getting shape during the season, which is what Luka is, I guess, allegedly doing. How is it a problem? You have lost your mind. I know when I'm being gaslighted. You're not gonna lie to me in my face. I told you you're not finna spit and then tell me it's raining. You're not finna serve a pool and tell me it's a T-bone steak. You're not finna try to sell me bricks and tell me it's wine. I ain't doing that. We not doing that, Sean. This man is full of it. But what was your reaction to this statement? And I think he's honestly making it worse. He's making the situation way worse than what it is.
Once he said Shaq, I stopped listening. Mm-hmm. Because there was no point to continue to listen. Mm-hmm. D-Wade on his podcast said this was billionaire business, and I am inclined to agree. Now, they also came out and said they are not trying to move the team. They're not trying to relocate the team. The Dallas Mavericks will be and belong in Dallas. So that hopefully it puts that theory to bed. Mm-hmm. But that said, there's still not a real
reason,
sensical rationale for why you move this player and not try to get maximum return on moving him. And that's the part they'll never justify. So at this point, just stop talking about it. It's over. Just mark those Luka jerseys half off in the team store, or take them out the team store and give them away. But
jump.
It's over.
Because all they doing is this, just digging it and just pounding it. They just digging themselves in a bigger hole. Because I would have respected it more, because also with the CPA, the first April and second April stuff going on with that, I would respect it more if he just said, hey, we don't want to pay on the max, the super max, and just kept it at that. Like, hey, look, at this point in time, I feel like we should build a team better. I don't think we can't afford to pay on the super max. Our team be depleted. I want to compete. If he just said that and left all the extra stuff out, I'd have been cool with that, because I think it's going to get to a point, Sean, where a lot of owners are not going to want to pay that supermax. If you can't do, if you can do it, I think it's going to get to that point.
I mean,
but don't lie with all the extra stuff saying this is clearly cap.
Well, I mean, the thing is, right? I think most owners are not thinking that way. They understand this is the CBA. If guys hit certain escalators, they're going to be very much okay paying the supermax, because the general idea is, hey, you pay the supermax. If you want to move on from the player after they're eligible to be traded, then you do that. The Clippers did that several years ago with Blake Griffin. They paid him a bag, massive bag, and then they traded him to Detroit. You know, so that's the way you do it versus what they just did. You know, so I just think it's a bunch of nonsense at the end of the day, and it just shows that because you're a billionaire does not mean you're smart.
Mm-hmm. And then also it shows that the NBA are going to have to do something about this point if they don't get owners who care about the game of basketball more than the other business that's going on. I mean, I ain't saying like sacrifice your money. I'm just saying like don't let that like you destroying your team. Hey, I'm just going to trade my best player because of whatever business purpose. And then don't get the max offer for it. Me and Rob Pelinka had a handshake deal over with our coffee business or our iron business. So I told him I'm going to give him Luka. And then, you know, stuff like that. Like keep the integrity of the game the same, or you're going to get the point where you're watering down the league. It's like you're playing franchise mode with a bunch of bad users, and it'll ruin the league, but the real life way. Kyrie Irving is set to replace injured star Anthony Davis in the All-Star game. What's your reaction?
Not surprised. I thought it needed to be either him or Domantas Sabonis, but certainly, you know, replacing a Dallas All-Star with a Dallas All-Star makes sense, so I'm okay with it.
Well, he was a Laker when he got voted in, but I would have thought Sabonis would got the nod because it was a four they got out, but I guess they just went with the next closest guy. So, and if you're doing that, I think the format that they're doing, you really didn't even need a certain amount of each position because it's a 3v3, whatever. Next up, Trae Young is set to replace Giannis Antetokounmpo in the All-Star game. See, this was sure I knew it was like, okay, you go get a guard because there's not really that many All-Star fours. Like, I think Pascal Siakam made it off positional reasons. So,
well, I mean, well, in Indiana is like the fifth seed in the East. So,
yeah, but I would have picked probably Trae Young. I mean, not Trae Young, Tyrese Haliburton over here, but it's understandable. What's your reaction to Trae Young replacing Giannis?
Again, no. It was either going to come down to him or LaMelo. I think LaMelo's out, or no, he was out. He's back. But like, yeah, it was going to come down to him or LaMelo. And so, yeah, fine with it either way.
All right, sure. One more story, then we end up out of here. The T-Wolves story. We got to talk about T-Wolves ownership. The ownership of the transfer of the Minnesota Timberwolves must continue as rigidly as planned after an arbitration panel ruled Monday that controlling owner Glenn Taylor must seize control of the NBA club to partners Mark Lohr and Alex Rodriguez in a dispute's final phase of $1.5 billion sale. I forgot about this story. What was going on? Like the owner tried to backtrack on the sale?
It was a really weird approach, SB, when they agreed in principle to purchase the T-Wolves. It was going to be like a phased purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And it was questions about whether or not Mark Lowry and A-Rod actually had the funding to do it, mm-hmm, and to buy it. That's why they were taking that phased approach in that way. And so part of it is, you know, obviously you have to have the funding. Do you have to have the backing to do this, the financial backing to do this? And also, from the NBA perspective, they want to get this over with because they can't proceed further forward with future business like expansion until this is wrapped up finally. So the expectation, I would think, is they've made the arbitrator's made the ruling. Now it's in the Board of Governors' hands to approve the sale of the T-Wolves and the Lynx to Mark Lowry and A-Rod, and they can take controlling ownership of the team.
A-bomb from A-Rod. So you got that baseball money hit different, man. Trying to tell you, you got that baseball money. Episode 42, Sean, who you got?
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson, you're going to go big Jackie. Jackie Robinson. Okay, I like that. I like that. I knew he was going to go big O. I mean, not big O. I mean, big 4-2. I'm sorry. Don't disrespect OG. I'm going to go Mr. Rivera of the Yankees, and I'm going to go Mr. Worthy of the Lakers. I'm going to go. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. It's been another great episode of Real Takes on Fake the Base with SB and Sean Whip. And we will see you guys on Friday. Peace. We are outie here.